Welcome to The Ether. Today's Friday, April 8th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, The Anarchists and the Artsy Apes, AMA. Let's take a listen.
Welcome to everyone who's joining. If you want to take a second and maybe share the space and get some other friends up in here, we're just going to wait maybe like one or two more minutes until some more people have a chance to join. Then we can go ahead and get started. Also, by the way, this is Meta May. Usually it's Psych on the account, but she's busy today. She's moving. So I'm going to try and take over. I definitely won't be as good as her, but I'll give it my best shot.
Oh, she moves into the new place today. Is that what she's doing? Or
she's buying, it's furnished, but she needs some other stuff like bedding and you know, basic stuff. Yeah, everyone's moving except for me. I'm stuck here.
I'm not moving very far. Oh, man. It's still morning and I'm yawning, but yeah, I retweeted it and all. While we wait, I think I'm going to go scoop up an Artsy Ape. One of the... Let's see. How are they looking?
Excellent strategy, sir.
Actually, I'm kind of curious, Gonzo, as a founder of the project, like how many of your own NFTs do you own?
I gotta be honest, I own three.
It's okay, I'm the same. I have two.
No, I own three. Like we reserved like one for the mint, like for each team member, like we all reserved one. And then like, you know, like if something really good on the market comes up, like we don't really judge it in terms of like how rare it is. We judge it by like, oh, like this this Jägermeister hoodie fits super well with the Wagner chain and the mountains background or whatever. So I'm like, oh, I needed that one. Like it's like purely for like, because you have like a different connection to your NFT if you like, if you've been there from the beginning and you built the project. I'm sure you can relate. I mean, probably also didn't spam the rarity calculator and see like, oh, I gotta scrape this from the market. It's just like, oh, this looks so dope.
Yeah, I'm buying this one right now. It has a shirt with flames on it, only because I remember when I was really young, I had this exact same shirt. It's weird. Right,
yeah, that's the exact kind of basis that like even for other projects, like it kind of crept in there. It's like I judged them like really more from like a personal point of view, and it's a lot more. Like you build a lot better connection to your NFTs if you buy them like that.
Yeah, I did the same where I ended up, okay, well, actually like a total noob. I didn't even put myself on the whitelist or like anything. Didn't even like reserve any for myself. So I ended up buying it off of secondary. And I did the same though. I just bought something that I felt connected to. There's a little like Canadian flag and the LGBT colors on the helmet and stuff. Yeah, I definitely.
You guys are Canadian? You guys are Canadian? I didn't even know that.
All three of us live in Ontario, awesome. Actually.
Sweet.
All right, it's been bought. No, you don't.
I know I only own two, but I feel like Deployden has like 20. I don't know.
18, 19, maybe. I don't know. I gave a couple away and all, so I don't know. I'm definitely above 15.
I feel like you tend to ape in. I feel like that's more your style.
Yeah, well, I was going to buy more in all the last hour, but there was an issue with the time zones. Apparently, wherever Luard is hosted, it's like the only one area of GMT time that actually does daylight savings time. So if you were to, like, our mint was set to end at 4 p.m. GMT. And if you were to look up current GMT time all throughout that morning, it was only 3 o'clock and it ended right at 3. Turns out the, and if you Google, like, does GMT do daylight savings time? The answer is no, except for this one little area of, like, of the UK that does it, and that's where Luard's based out of, and we didn't really have any indication of that. So a bunch of us missed out on minting. Like, I think between me and a couple other friends and a couple other people we know in our space, there was like 200 to 300 pending that we were set to mint in the last hour that we couldn't do.
So that's a very important PSA. Abolish daylight savings time. Just make it summertime all year round or whatever.
They actually voted for that recently. I think as of November, it's no longer a thing.
That's good. So because like time zones are incredibly fucking finicky to coordinate, like all around the world. Like we have a moderator team from basically every continent. We got people there. And if something like daylight savings time comes into the mix, it's just a complete nightmare. But yeah, right, the title of this AMA today is Archdeapes X Anarchist Partnership. I know this is like a chill space or whatever, but yeah, do you want to cue us in?
Yeah, so let's get into it. I know that I had announced on the Anarchist account about our partnership very vaguely. I was super excited about it, so I immediately was just like, yes, let's do it. There are some things that I'm still a little bit unclear about that I would love to talk about on this space in front of everyone today, and then maybe hopefully get some of my questions answered. But I know that Hearts Apes was one of the collections that I was most excited for because I know that you are bringing the actual NFT art into the real world. Maybe we could start a little bit about that, like how exactly you are bringing it into the real world with your paintings and your prints and your artwork, and then we can go into the actual partnership details.
Sure. So the way that it works is, you have we bridge the digital to the physical world, and it's like it's each realm that an Archdeap exists in has like at least a remnant of the other. So for example, the digital NFTs, like they were all made on canvas. Like all the traits and the attributes, like they all have a physical origin. And a similar thing is gonna be like when you then convert your digital Archdeap to a physical one, is that for most of the art that you're gonna get in the web shop, it's going to be fitted with an NFC crypto chip that links the physical version to the digital NFT on the blockchain. So your NFT will be directly backed by the physical artwork. And this ties into many problems in the traditional art world. It's like this has been going on for like thousands of years. Like people like for one counterfeiting art, or it's like who is to say that you really own this? Who is to say that it's really like from this and this source? So this is kind of like killing like maybe four birds at once. So four birds with one stone. So that's the goal.
Yeah, I love it. I have had a chance to check out some of the stuff that you've been posting on your Twitter lately. I see that you are partnering with some other collections and allowing for them to do some in real life paintings with the actual chips as well. I believe it was Hellcats. How does it work when you're in a partnership like that where you're actually, like, how do the people who are holding the Hellcats, like, what do they need in order to actually get that painting with the chip in it?
Right. So that's the biggest goal that we've had like ever since Mint, is obviously building the web shop where you're actually going to be able to get these physical items. And not too long after launch, like we want to say, I mean, it's tricky to say because like we have to re-audit all the different smart contracts for partner projects to run through the web shop. But like, I want to say like like 3 weeks or something, like after we've had a run of Wake and just get RTA's item, there's going to be a list of like an ever-growing list of partner projects where you can then like, for now it's like a pre-fed style. It's like you can get like your for example Hellcats NFT that are going to be the first partners on the shop. You can then say, oh, I would like my Hellcat to be commissioned by Steve-O. And the ticket to the shop to access these features is to have an RCAP in your wallet. That's what you need to connect to the shop. And then you unlock like for hopefully like a never ending list of projects, you unlock this feature where it can like, yeah, maybe I just want to have like a really super cool print with the NFC chip on it. Cool. Like you can get that all the time. Or like you can bid for one of the real big boys, the hand painted, hand sprayed ones. And the rhythm that is gonna be is like probably every other week, if not every week, we're gonna onboard a new project there. So that's the goal. Build a hub for physical art on Terra.
Sounds like I just bought my key.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think it's such a great idea to open yourself up to collaborating with these other projects, because I feel like, you know, sometimes people can think like, oh, we want to be the biggest, best project, we're going to go at it alone. But I would say that a lot of our success in our collection contributes to collaborating with these other collections. There's just endless possibilities in what you can do. And so, I mean, if you can get out there and connect with other projects who can provide things that you can't do yourself, like, I mean, why wouldn't you? So I'm really excited about our partnership. I know that we had talked a little bit about we're going to be kind of like hand in hand, where we're going to have a monthly Twitter space. We can get together and do this again and chill with our different communities. But for the actual prints, I know that I just sent you that information, so we still have some time there. But I was wondering how long it actually takes to get those up in the store, and whether or not like you have that up and running, or if it's kind of in progress right now.
The thing is, like I've written like all the code to you know do all the like we've in the last week, like we've pushed like in the updates, like how all the. So we have a system where it's like you get many different tiers of prints, and these are like they can be computer generated for every NFT in a given collection. It's just a matter of spacing and getting the layout right and all the metadata on and whatnot. And then of course like the NFC chip is just the most important thing, and that's actually where like most of the cost factor comes in. It's not really like generating the source file, it's more rewriting, integrating like the smart contract, like I said, because it needs to go through audit and all this stuff. So like we do hope that we can work out many different projects like at a time, like in terms of like if you just want to have it like digital, like if you just want to see like how it's going to look like. Like we've just posted our first ever tier 2 sighting in the wild like a couple hours back. Like you can get a good glimpse of that on the RCAP's Twitter right now. It's like what it's actually going to look like if you put it in your room. And in terms of like creating the actual image itself, doesn't take too long. But then, you know, the crypto part obviously is the tricky subject at hand.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks for sharing that with me. And I'm just so excited to see our anarchist up in your store. And now I definitely need to buy an RCAPE as well. I just need that painting just because. I mean, to have like a first in real life version of an NFT, I think would be super duper cool.
Well, it's funny because I'm moving next week, right? And I was talking to my mom the other day and she's like, well, do you want any of like, she's like, I have all these paintings. Like, do you want all these? Like, I was like, no way. She's like, what are you going to put up on your walls? I'm like, all of my NFTs. The entire house is going to be my Galactic Punks, my Luna Bulls, my Anarchists, my Artsy Apes. It's just going to be NFTs on all my walls. Like that's how it's going to be. And I guess now I know where to get them done.
Exactly right. It's like, yeah, I still have room in my garage for my 22nd Artsy Ape. Yeah, why not? Recommendation, personal one. We have a trait in the collection called Anarchy Jacket. You might want to check that out. I just remembered that. But yeah, that's the logical next step, I think, is that, you know, you can lose wallets, you can lose access to many things, but like a physical thing is gonna last you your whole life. Like, unless you actively decide to throw it away, destroy it, give it away, sell it, you're probably gonna go hold on to it for a long time. And just actually like standing in front of it, like art like this, it can really tie your room together, you know, and we feel that that's what it really does. It's like, if you can like immerse yourself in your collection, like just so way much more. Like, there's a reason that physical stuff is just, you know, not going away, like literally, and you know, like in the given social context.
So what's being stored on the NFC chip? Is it mainly just a way to scan it and kind of look it up on chain and kind of see the data for it directly? Or are you actually going to store keys to physically store the actual NFT on there, where if you want to, in a sense, redeem it or transfer it, you have to take that key off and then I guess do a transfer out of that address? Or how does that work exactly?
So like each chip has like a public key, and you can, you know, like then with through you know, the induction.
Oh, I think something's happening with your mic or microphone. Uh-oh.
Fucking internet in this place, I swear. Is it better?
Yep.
Perfect.
Okay, cool. So yeah, you hold your phone to it, and then it's going to tell you, like, for one, like, is this like a legit thing? Is this like the real deal? And yeah, then you can obviously see like who owns the NFT behind it. You can see who, which address is in possession of this. Cause this is like I said, it's a crypto chip. Like, it has its own wallet stored to it. So eventually you're gonna, like, through the chip also be able accept or make offers even.
Oh, so you're rolling out like your own, in a sense, like app as well to be able to scan and automatically pull the information for it, so that way they can then see where it's listed or make offers on it directly?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Like, there's so many different ways you can play around with this. It's like, the one thing, I mean, you know, because we always like to get carried away by stuff like this. This is something we figured out just today. Is that we can actually put like little LED lights on the chip as well, and you can actually make it light up. Like, like if the scan was successful and a connection to the NFT could be established, or red if otherwise. Like, you can just find infinite ways of doodling around with this stuff.
Yeah, I was looking at those LEDs the other day, actually. Are you looking at the wireless induction LEDs that can kind of light up based off induction?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you wouldn't like fit batteries to it, obviously.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, I was looking at those. Those are really cool. Yeah, that'd be really cool. It's like, as you, I guess the question would be, is if your phone can power those enough. Usually they need a bigger coil, but yeah, I guess that's something to play with.
It's actually pretty easy, because they really don't need much power at all. Just give a little flicker, you know. It's
yeah. I guess they'd come in SMD form as well, so they can be really small. Okay, yeah, that's awesome.
So I know that you have that utility with your collection. Could you actually share us maybe some of the other utilities you have, or some of the other things that you have on your roadmap that you're planning to do in the future with your collection?
Yeah, right. So one thing I feel like I don't talk about enough is the fact that, you know, you see merch everywhere. You see merch on like basically every roadmap. You see like, oh, apparel is coming then and then. But what we are offering is your own NFT, your own Artsy Ape on a hoodie or a t-shirt. It's like you can have the face on the hoodie. If you want, you can have like the whole thing on a t-shirt. So yeah, it's like ultra custom. We might offer generic designs at some point, but for the future, it's just going to be about, you know, you have this NFT, so this gets you something that has your actual NFT on it. And it's like, on another thing too, that ties in with that is,
that we source all this stuff, like the paper is all recycled and stuff, and you know, green all the way. Like, there's no sweatshops in the roadmap in terms of that, because like that's a pitfall that many merch selling folk fall into, is like, yeah, this is cool, but this is like not cool all the way, you know. So that's also something that we do take the time to think, and like we actually have a pretty good connection to the people that, you know, make the prints, that make the shirts, that make the hoodies. Like we checked out their operations and stuff, you know, just to live a bit more guilt-free.
So when you're fully up and running, what's the expected turnaround time for somebody to come place an order for being hoodies, shirts, or even just paintings?
It really just depends like where you live. It's like, because we offer worldwide shipping, like, and we're gonna do that from day one. So like, obviously we're gonna be preparing like day and night for that. So we're gonna have, for the tier 3 prints that everybody can get for free if they own an R shape, like we're gonna have one of each just ready to go, and they're gonna be mailed out like maybe a couple days after at the latest. Like tier 2 are gonna be on a order by order basis, but you know, we're gonna still, you know, tend to those. Like, I want to say every 4 or 5 days. So if you place an order that's not like for a tier 1, for a hand painted one, it's gonna go out the same week. And then, you know, like if you live in Europe, great, it's gonna be there in like maximum a week. If you live in Australia, might have to wait too. But yeah, nothing super crazy there. Canada, I mean, yeah, should also be there like within like 10 days, I think. So I want to say 3 weeks maximum for that.
Yeah,
and shipping for hand painted you know, things is like a bit more tricky, because you have to like ensure the fuck out of it, and you know, it's like oversized and stuff. Like, I don't know really how long this is where the location thing is really gonna come into play. Like this could take like a month or more, but you know, we're
gonna, but for the hand painted ones, like what's the typical turnaround time for those that are getting hand painted? Like, is that like a 1 week thing for them to paint them, or how does that typically turn around?
Yeah, it's a 1 week thing. It's a 1 week thing, really. So like, it's a mandatory at least 4 day thing, because the way we make the paintings is like, once they're done, like we seal them with a special coating of epoxy. You know, protects from UV rays, like from heat or cold, whatever. Protects the chip also, which is the most important part. And you have to apply like 3 layers, and you need to leave each layer to dry overnight. So that's, yeah, 5 days a week, just about there.
Do you have any estimated pricing on, or is that still being worked out as to what these are going to sell for? Mainly what I'm getting at is I'm going to get all of mine hand painted.
All right. So in the first stages of the shop, like, we always said, like, I don't think this is like our decision to make. So we are doing this on a bidding system. It's like, we're gonna start by bidding off a couple at a time, and then, you know, increase the frequency. And then from there, like, we're gonna gauge like, okay, how much is this really worth? And then eventually we're gonna settle on a fixed price. So this is not something, yeah, that.
Oh, that's cool. So you're like going into price discovery almost.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah, really.
I'll probably buy mine at the top as usual. All right. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. And you said that's still probably like a month or two away before all that opens up and gets going.
I'm hoping, because by my estimate, like, the web shop is about 60-something% done. So, but development is going really, really smooth at the moment. So I want to say, yeah, I really want to say like a month at the latest, at the really latest. I want to say closer to 3 3.5 weeks is should be pretty doable. And then, yeah, functionality is like all there from day one. So it's not going to be like a incremental thing. It's like we're gonna go all in, gonna go all gas, no brakes.
So I am curious, because it sounds like you're super hands-on with every step of the process, like the paintings and the shipping and the making sure that everything is like sustainably sourced. Are you and your team members like local to each other, or how does that work? I feel like that would definitely be a little bit of a barrier.
It's not, fortunately, because like each one of us, like we have an office in the city where we're at, and we go there every day. We work together. It's pretty smooth. Like, this would be pretty much impossible to do, this whole operation like that, if we were like fragmented all over the world. But because this project came together, like for some of us as like, oh, I know this guy. I used to go to uni with him. Like, maybe he wants to do this. And then we were like, yeah, let's go. And we've been building up ever since. So
it was just like it's a great space. Like, you guys want to do this, and everyone was down, kind of thing.
it really was, yeah. It really was. Like, it's kind of amazing how it all panned out so well. It's like I knew like more than half the team before we actually started with this. And that's pretty insane. Like, I haven't really heard that from many projects at all.
Yeah, I have to say that one of the best things about this project with the Anarchist was knowing both of my co-founders here, Deployden and Psych, prior to actually starting. And, you know, Deployden I'd known for a couple of years, and it was funny because I had started this like NFT venture on the Solana network with Psych, and things were an absolute disaster on that network. Like, things were down and things weren't working, and we ended up having to leave over to Terra, all thanks to Deployden, but he kind of like came in and saved the day. And I think that, you know, just the fact that we can all not just like work together, but be friends has been a much smoother experience. I don't think people understand like the importance of actually getting to know the people that you're working with or having them as friends prior to working together. But it's a lot more than just like people's credentials, but actually just like vibing and being able to hang out. I know we actually got together once in person, because Psych lives over in Mexico, but she came back to Canada for a little bit. And just having that like experience of getting to meet each other in person and be friends is makes all the difference, for sure.
It does. And it really does. And especially because this is like such a hands-on project that we have. It's like we spend an insane amount of time together. And it's like, if you don't like each other, you're in trouble. Like, if you don't kind of have an idea what you're getting yourself into, this is probably not going to work. Because, we still work like pretty long days, but it just makes it a lot easier when you have your own space. Like, you can pretty much do whatever you want in it, and you know, like if somebody's like, okay, so we've been here since 8 a.m. It's now 10 p.m. Like, want to throw down like a quick jungle set, like in the other room, and then we're like, yeah. It's like you can just do all that like in the one flat that we're in, and it's fucking cool. Like, I've actually just like this week I moved in with Stebo.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's a really close team. That's so funny. I'm sure all you hear about is like NFTs all day long, but I also wanted to say too, I know that we're like coming up at a half an hour now, and I was wondering if like anyone in the audience had any questions about anything that we talked about so far, whether it's the Artsy Eves project, the Anarchists, our partnership together, or I don't know, if you just want to like come up here and ask a random question, that's fine too. But if anyone has any questions, for sure, feel free to request to be a speaker and I'll pull you up. But go ahead. I feel like you were going to say something.
Yeah, ask me about mullet.
Your mullet? Where are you located?
Austria. Like, the whole project is in Austria. Sorry?
Last time I was in Austria, I got extorted by the police.
Oh, that is a classic story. That is some beautiful holiday memories. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they took our passports and made us pay. But thankfully, we got off on that one. It was some nonsense, but fun place though. We were there up in the hills snowboarding. Even though we live in Canada, me and my brothers every year we found it was much better just flying somewhere in Europe and snowboarding there because it was somehow cheaper and much better to go to Europe rather than just fly west in Canada and snowboard here.
Well, nobody wants to vacation close to home, I don't think. You had to get away.
Like, isn't Western Canada like farther away than Europe to you guys if you're in Ontario?
What, Vancouver? Calgary is what, 4.5 hours? 5 hours?
Yeah, something like that. That's,
and I think to Austria was like 8.5. So yeah, no, it's definitely further, but like I remember we were looking a couple of years ago, and I think this is when we went to Italy. It was like $300 a night if we wanted to stay in Canada with three of us sharing one room in like this condo, or we can get a log cabin in the mountains of Italy that was like $180 a night and it had 4 bedrooms. And like just the price wise and like the comfortability of everything, like it always made much more, like, truthfully, I haven't even been snowboarding in like Banff or Vancouver, like all the big places in Canada, because we always had much more fun going out to like Austria or Italy or France. And Austria was definitely a fun one. I know with my eating habits being vegetarian, it was a little difficult there with the food, but yeah, it was fun regardless.
Shit, yeah, I can relate. Like I think Austria has like the second highest consumption of meat per capita, like at least in the first world, if that's still like a term that people use, I don't know. But holy shit, yeah, like renting
was a log cabin, lots of sausages, like, right? Or
sausages, and you must have had like schnitzel everywhere, and especially like in yeah, the mountains. Like if you go skiing, that's like very little vegetarian food. Like, I don't know, it's not so much like in the city, but if you're in the major skiing areas, like every place that serves food is that they will assume you will either want like some kind of sausage or schnitzel, or you will want like dessert you would normally like you want to have like as much dessert right now as you've had like in the rest of your life up until that point. It's fucking crazy. It's like they serve you like fucking kilos and kilos of food, and then it's fucking dangerous is what I'm saying. And it's not a good,
yeah, I mean, at least the healthy balance was we were actually snowboarding and exerting ourselves. So because that's what I found with a lot, like, and that's why I think I liked Italy one of the best, because it was just pizzas and pastas everywhere, so I thrived in that. But yeah, like even going there to go snowboarding, right? Like I'm like, okay, I'm putting on 10 pounds this week. Like I have to, like I need to put on some weight, come back home. And it's like, no, I lost a pound. Like, but yeah, it's been a while since I traveled, but definitely got to get back out to those mountains again.
I think you're like one of the like 1% of people on earth that can go on vacation and come back and lost weight.
When you're snowboarding, hours a day.
It is exercise, like, believe me. It is exercise. And that is why eating a lot there is dangerous, because it like offsets your center of mass. You're going to fall on your ass a lot more.
Heavier in the front a little bit. When I went to Texas, I went to the gym every day, but I gained 10 pounds. That was there for a long time, to be fair, but that's pretty crazy.
Rent a log cabin. It's the best thing you can do for your health.
I think Austria is actually where we went snowboarding, and there was this, they had this app where you can basically run it and it tracks if you do like the whole course. It was like some Olympic course. And if you completed it at the end, you got a prize and your name went into the Hall of Fame. And when we got to the very end, we were like, okay, now how do we get back? So we started asking people and everyone was laughing at us. And we're like, well, what's so funny? Like, we don't get it. And they're like, well, where you're trying to go is 300 kilometers away, like around the other side of the mountain. And the ski lifts were closed. Everything was closed. We ended up having to take like a 4.5 hour taxi to get out of there because we really messed up. And it was like 400 euros. It was ridiculous, but we had no choice.
Christ. Oh my God. Like, holy shit. Like, I'm native to Austria and I have stories like this. So it's not like something that only happens to tourists. Like, holy shit. It's like I once got like snowed in the log cabin when I was like, like senior year of high school. Like, we were like, you know, skiing vacations, me and some friends, we were fucking snowed in, couldn't reach anybody. So we had to ski down, and that was a wild time. And then we had to take like a cab for like hours and hours. It was fucked because we actually booked the way back already, and we just didn't want to miss it because there was like no refunds. So we fucking raced down the mountain, and it was a real fun time. So yeah,
seems like a valid life situation to need one of Elon's flamethrowers.
do you actually know somebody who has one of those? Like, I would love.
I don't think it was possible to get them into Canada, so like, you know, the states, shit, it's like a free for all down there, right? So
yeah,
I would love to get my hands on one of those. I think there's even a guide on how to build them because they're just modified like BB guns.
I think even in America though, they couldn't actually like ship the propane tank that you have to attach to the thing. So they sent you like a crisp $10 bill so you can go to the store and buy one.
Oh, that's hilarious. I didn't know that. That's cool. But yeah, I mean, we kind of steered way off topic here, but anyways, that was fun.
This is a chill space. This is how this always goes.
Like, yeah, usually we find when we do spaces later in the day, like, because right now there's like, what, 10 of us? Usually we find when we're later in the day, it's like 30, 40, 50 people. I guess it's Friday, it's middle of the day. People are probably catching up on all the work they neglected all week, and yeah,
shout out to everyone who's procrastinating at work.
Or everyone here that's full-time crypto, either or.
Shout out to anyone.
Are you full-time crypto or?
Like, I'm actually like still in college, but I kind of dropped doing that the last half year because like that's
it. What are you in school for?
Software engineering.
Ah, but, like, okay.
Here, like, the primary thing I was meant to do is community management, and then it just kind of grew and grew. It's, like, I was meant to do that, but in the end, like, everything from like we built our own rarity calculator, like generating all the prints, the website, like in the end, I had my hand in most things. It's just I do kind of enjoy like really working on every aspect.
Welcome to startup life.
It is a startup life. It's mad. It's really mad. But it's so cool because it's like so flexible.
Yeah, truthfully, awesome. not a lot of people can handle all that. So like I've hired people in the past for some of my other startups, and a lot of people just don't thrive well in those situations. And it definitely takes certain types of people who can kind of adapt to anything and everything. A lot of people just like, I want my one job, my one task. I'm just going to do that every day. And clearly it does seem like a lot of people in crypto itself are built a little differently, where they don't like sitting still or doing one thing. They like taking on everything and kind of, I mean, the space is never ending. There's always so much to do. I always say you can sit and spend every day learning as much as possible, and the next day realize there's so much more you missed or you can't keep up. And that's kind of, yeah, like that's what we love, where we have like our Discord of thousands of people where we don't have to keep up on everything. People always bring things forward and say, hey, have you guys looked at this? Have you looked at that? And it's kind of like the collective mind now kind of operating in the space.
Yeah, because like the space moves even if you don't, and if you chip away at stuff, if you get good at something, like you're always kind of gonna come up with something like, oh, I can improve this in this and that way, and so like you're really building your own work. It's really cool. It's like you never really like reach the end in something. You never. I mean, yeah, you take pride in what you do. You sit back and think that is fucking cool. But like you always know, like if I like pick my brain a bit, like I'm gonna come up with something that's gonna really like get this to the next level and the next and the next. And that is I really enjoy that environment. Like, it's so cool to not have like
predefined tasks every day, and you get done with them, and then you never look at them again. And that's kind of how uni was, right? It's like you have courses, and then the course is done, you get your grade, and you move on. But I was kind of fed up with that, so it's great.
And then, yeah, you learn all that stuff in uni, and then you go full-time crypto and sell some apes.
It's a logical way of life, you know?
Of course. Because I was in school for similar as well, like software engineering, like security, like I had courses on virus creation and hacking and stuff, but like I never really paid attention. I found just applying it and actually doing it learn more, and I actually regret ever going to school. I feel I would have done a lot better just kind of doing my own thing rather than being told or being taught by teachers who clearly were just reading out of textbooks and not really knowing what they were talking about themselves.
Especially in Austria, like you have to call every teacher by the title of professor. Like you address them with professor, even though they, you know, didn't really even go to school that long. And that kind of was the first thing where I was like, this is bullshit. And oh, what was I going to say? Something about, that's the thing that you go to college for. That's the one thing. Is you find people there, like you meet so many people on campus, and you go to college to find two or three people that you can do stuff like Artsy Apes with. That is the main power of college. That is the main thing that college can get you, other than, you know, job security, if you really want to have like, if that's more your thing. But that was clearly more my thing, and yours as well.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it could be helpful for people at the same stage as you when you're wanting to like grow with people. But I also found that, you know, investing in mentors outside of school. I mean, I went to college, but I didn't actually go to college. I never went for the year and a half that I was paying to go. But I found that I was able to make a lot more connections and like network outside by paying for mentors, like going to these conferences. And I think that's one of the cool things, too, is being able to make those connections, even just online. Like you could do so much online and meet so many people that even going to these online or these in-person things isn't even necessary either. So there's so much opportunity to make connections. And I feel like that's definitely one of the most important things when you want to actually start learning and excelling is learning from these people who are already actively out in the world doing it every single day.
Exactly. It's like we have had so many interesting people walk in and out of the office or like in calls on Discord, wherever, where you just immediately grasp like the wealth of knowledge that they have, like from being like in the quote unquote real world for much, much longer than you have. And that is like it's so good. So yeah, as you said, I hope we can shake the stigma that unless you have like a college degree, you're not educated or you don't know your way around things. I think that's pretty stupid. It's like it's kind of become like a rite of initiation culturally that you have to go to 4 years of college, and I think that's pretty much BS.
That's what the government wants you to think. That's how they keep you in the system, running around in circles. But in a side note, Luna's down to 97, so I'm gonna be buying some more right now.
That's always a good plan of action. Yeah, like I don't think you can really go wrong at all. Like at any time, like for a long time, it's like a good time to buy. Because there's so much stuff always happening.
I hate to start cutting the space, guys. I know we're having fun, but I do have a call in 14 minutes, so coming up soon. But I do, again, just want to open the floor like once more if anyone has any questions. And if not, maybe we can start saying goodbyes and then just waiting for to post more announcements about our partnership, which I'm super excited about in the upcoming weeks. But yeah, if anyone has any questions or any last thoughts before we head out, feel free to request to be a speaker. But other than that, thanks so much for joining us today. I forget one. I was trying to think of one of your three names. I'm just going to say Artsy Apes.
So it's Gonzo. That's the handle Gonzo. I go
okay.
with.
Okay. I'm going to write my hand next time.
but Lambert or Andy are also fine.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. This is a fun space. It is recorded, so I'll make sure to post it up on our Discord and let Finn or TerraSpaces know about it so they can go ahead and post up on their website and record it as well or edit it. But yeah, thanks for today. That was a lot of fun. I feel like we have some exciting stuff coming up, and I'm excited to see how our partnership starts to grow in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, very well said.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for joining. Today was awesome. And I'm going to sign off with our saying, welcome to the anarchy. We'll see you in our Discords. Be sure to join both the Artsy Apes Discord as well as ours, and then we can go hang out over there.
All right. Enjoy our Friday, everybody.
Bye, everyone. TGIF.
Bye, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Anarchists and Artsy Apes AMA, recorded on Friday, April 8th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects, and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody wanna rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money going? When you can't do the shows, I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. A mace to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, the sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around three quarters of a cent each time someone listens to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist.
They're making pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointed too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music.